The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, from school books to childcare, the cost of starting a family and keeping that family going can quickly mount up, culminating in the cost of getting your kids through college. So we're going to take a look now at some advice to keep your budget on track and your family's future finances in order. We're joined by David Quinn, Managing Director of InvestWise Financial Planning. David, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, where do we start? When you talk about financial planning, I mean, most people, I have to suggest, just muddle through paying their bills month by month, and they're not kind of stepping back and looking at the bigger picture, the inevitable costs that are going to be there.
Yeah, like this is the one question I love getting past when people ring us InvestWise. When they start thinking, it generally happens maybe just before the first child arrives or in the first few months of that, saying, right, we really need to look into the future now and think 20 years ahead instead of 20 days ahead with their finances. So I love getting this question because it shows people are starting to plan. And obviously, you know, we want the best for our children. So that is often the trigger, for thinking long term.
Now, obviously, if someone's getting pregnant, the ideal thing that they'd be covered by their health insurance so they didn't have a big bill, or perhaps they would like to use the public system, which is also actually perfectly good for maternity. But that's where it starts. And then it goes on into, you know, childcare, creches. Then you go to school and the school books. And then there are extras after school. And then it goes into secondary school and all the costs associated with that. And maybe there's transition year and a trip to Florence, or then there's college and an apartment shared or a house shared in some university city. It goes on and on.
It does, Pat. And like, in an ideal world, if we were all incredibly well organized, a couple would be having this conversation before they even decide to have children, because it's such a massive undertaking in general. And I suppose that never happens, of course, because life gets in the way and we don't tend to sit down and talk about money very much. But the costs of raising a child and the factors into what type of house you buy, how much money you might have left over to put into your pension, what do you do with careers, which is obviously something we'll cover, but that's a hugely important financial decision. And who's going to take the responsibility for childcare, or are both couples going to work? I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old myself, and my wife works full time. So we've been through the mill living in Dublin in terms of creche fees, school fees, childminders, extra activities, and juggling the schedule and deciding on where we want to live and how much space you need. So thankfully, I have a lot of personal experience in this topic. So I've been able to really sit down with people and give them the harsh reality of how to plan for it.
I mean, I'm looking at the costs of childcare by county, and we're looking at the cheapest is around 155 for one child for 1 week full time. Or maybe it's Carlow at 148. In Dunleary Rathdown, it's 246. So that's incredibly expensive, really. When you think of a grand a month, and that's from your after-tax income. So you're here to tell us how to plan for all of this, David. Off you go.
Don't have kids, Pat. That's the answer in Dublin anyway. But no, I ran a lot of numbers on this for people over the years. And I guess the first thing to do is talk about it and have some sort of a plan in terms of what you want from childcare and what are your career plans. And if it is a position that both parents want to work, for example, that's the most expensive alternative.
But then you really need to say at the same time, you've got another income coming in, so you've got to look at how big the two incomes are. I mean, it could be that it wouldn't make sense financially to work because all the money from one income is going into paying for the cost of someone else minding your kids. But at the same time, that person who might be asked to stay at home because of the level of their income, which might make financial sense, they might go bats from being a full-time carer in the home.
Yeah, so that's the psychological point is very important. But if both salaries are above the top rate tax threshold, It's it requires an income, a gross income of about 18,500 to pay for childcare in Dublin. It'd be less than that, obviously, in the country. But so 18,500 of a gross salary is required just to pay for the childcare. So that's a threshold. If the income is below that, really, there isn't much point. But if it's a good, significantly higher than that, then there's, you know, it's worth considering, you know, what are the long-term priorities in terms of career. But another factor that no one ever talks about with this is qualification for the state pension. And just maybe the employer, the salary might be relatively low, but there could be employer pension contributions or health family health care could be paid for. So there's a lot of other ancillary benefits that people don't think about that are incredibly valuable.
And people think that because there is such a thing as a non-contributory pension as well as the contributory state pension, but the non-contributory one is means tested.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you mightn't get it at all because the family income at that point will be still so high that you don't qualify. All right, so you're looking at all of these things, but we were thinking, you know, you're looking at college and we don't know where college fees are going to go. Yeah. And we know that even if you got free fees, there's still a huge cost for many people who don't live in a university city to actually getting a kid through college. I know it's maybe silly to start thinking when your child is in nappies, how am I going to pay for their college? But really, I suppose you should be doing that.
You should, yeah. And like what I recommend people do, we were brilliant at saving as a population when the SSIA product was out there. But as an example, if you saved the children's allowance from day one until the child was 18 years old, you know, in an SSIA type investment, so it's not just sitting in the credit union, which is what most of the time that's what happens. A lot of people save the children's allowance for this reason, but they leave it in the bank. So it's not even matching inflation. But if that's put into, you know, an SSIA type account, which all the insurance companies and banks have, and most of them are pretty good, that builds up to 44,000 at fairly conservative investment rates. That's not expecting you to be invested in Bitcoin or something that's going through the roof. It's pure, just a very middle of the road managed fund. That would be 44,000, and that, you know, that would go a long way to covering tuition fees, the 3,000 euro contribution, and rental, you know, if they're not in a university city and they have to rent somewhere. So that's something I would strongly recommend young parents do, is put the children's allowance into something that might grow a bit, not into the credit union. And that can be done very, it's a very simple thing to do. And if you do it with the right financial advisor, it should be quite cheap.
Yeah. Even though the rates are very low, the rates of return on bank accounts and so on, you say that these are investment accounts and they will, stock market goes up, stock market goes down, but inexorably it seems to have, besides the blips, an upward curve.
Exactly, Pat. Over an 18-year period, it's going to go up. It hasn't been a period in history where it hasn't. Now, if it was a lump sum and you were saving for college fees this time next year, I wouldn't be quite so flahoolock with the investment strategy and I'd be conservative. But when it's an 18-year plan that money is going to be contributed to every month, I think some sort of an investment account is really the only answer. No.
Sometimes financial planning is grist to the mill for people who work in financial areas. Other times it's mystifying. If you were to go to a company like InvestWise to get, you know, family advice, what would it cost you?
Well, I guess it depends. With a lot of financial planning firms, it depends on how long you want the relationship to last. A simple one-off consultation to answer questions like this and, you know, have a couple of hours work is usually around 500 euros. Where you'll get a simple steer on what you should be doing and maybe where you might go to set up these accounts and where you might try to avoid and the pitfalls. And then usually a financial planner will do an initial consultation like that. I would avoid anyone who will do it for free because clearly they're still going to get paid and there'll be a sales pressure. I'd prefer to pay for someone to give you their honest opinion and then let you off to do it yourself. Yeah. And then if you feel you're not confident enough to do it yourself, you pay them to look after your affairs long term.
I suppose it depends how much money's involved in all of that. All right, well, look, this is just a starter on this idea. A lot of questions will be coming in, so I might invite you back to actually talk to us, David, on one of our Monday expert slots where you'll actually take the listeners' questions and give them a steer in the right direction. So that'll happen maybe in a few weeks' time if you're free. David Quinn, who is the Managing Director of InvestWise Financial Planning, thank you very much for joining us.